It's still summer. We're still alive.
Still sweating.
We're dying of heat. I'm Jen.
I'm Jess.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Fat Mascara.
Welcome. Welcome, everyone. Hope you're having a great summer.
Let's just fan ourselves and stay in the air conditioning. So we have things to talk about, though. It's not a beautiful time of year, but there are beauty topics to be had. First up, dry nails. Everybody's hot. Most favorite beauty topic.
This is a Jess Matlin special.
I'm excited about this one,
yeah,
actually.
It's an important issue.
And then something near and dear to our hearts, a fragrance topic, frankincense. You're going to tell me what it is, mm-hmm, right, first, mm-hmm. And then why it might be going extinct.
Yes, yes, yes.
Very interesting. And some amazing news coming out of California as far as a natural hair law that I just want to salute and talk about for a moment. So that's our topics.
Okay. And then we have a fantastic guest, another derm app for you. I know how much you guys are loving those. Thank you for the feedback. Dr. Francesca Fusco. She's a dermatologist and a dermatological surgeon. She knows everything about everything, but we asked her about a few hot topics that you guys have been texting and DMing and all that about.
Namely, redness.
Redness. So timely.
So much
timely.
Redness. All the redness. Rosacea. Sunburns. What else?
Sensitivity.
Scabies. Yeast. Weird stuff. Mites. What do I have on my skin now?
I don't remember her saying scabies, but definitely mites.
Okay. Mites.
Stay tuned for the mites.
You're going to find out the cause of your redness if you listen to this episode.
And how to sort it out. Shall we?
Let's do it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
So, Jess, when you told me you had to talk about dry nails, I really didn't know if you meant toenails or fingernails.
I'm talking about my little hooves.
So that would be...
my feet.
Oh, toenails.
I don't know.
Little hooves is like for...
my little trotters.
Okay,
my little
pink hooves. Horse, then it could be... it's all the same to me. Okay, dry toenails.
So this is kind of gross.
Oh, when you see people on the subway with their sandals in the summer.
I know.
Dry toenails. Okay, help us.
Right now, I'm that person.
Why?
I have like old lady big toenails. They're like, not like thick or yellow or anything, but they have like this whitish, like it's almost like looking at the Appalachian Mountains.
I have that too.
You do?
But yes, because I gave him a breather from the polish like our podiatrist friend told us to do. And I was like, what is that?
A nail holiday.
They are dry as fuck.
They're really, okay, so here's the scoop. I wear nail polish all the time, like pedicure stuff. And then I change the polish when I get my next pedicure or like the day or two before. And, you know, you hear different things from nail professionals at like the little corner salon. Someone told me it's because you're wearing, she like shamed me. She's like, too much dark polish. And I was like, that felt a little old wives' tale.
I was just going to say that, yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I kind of.
Because that gives like a yellowish, like you know when that happens. Like you wear Vamp for 3 weeks with no base coat. You know what that looks like. You know what that looks like. This is not that.
So this is just this like whitish striations. And if you touch the nail, it does feel like chalky.
Yes. Okay. Almost like you used an acetone nail polish remover. You know how they sort of like make your nail look even drier afterwards as compared to a regular nail polish remover?
Yes.
It's that, but all the time.
You've got it. So I decided to take off all of my nail polish the other day because it was just looking crappy. The nails freaked me out. I put on just like a sheer coat of like baby pink, but it doesn't cover the striations.
Yeah. I love that you gave them a name.
Because they feel like striations or like.
Okay. Your toenails have stretch marks?
Oh my God. Ew, that's so gross. No, I guess it's just like Rocky Mountains. Okay, Rocky Mountains. I asked Miss Pop.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Pop, you know, she was our guest, like one of our first couple of episodes about this. And she said, you know, I think it is from like constantly wearing so much nail polish. But she directed me to an even more of a nail health expert, Dr. Dana. And I cannot wait to have
Dr. Dana. I've heard about her.
Yeah, we've got to have her on the show soon.
Yes.
So she is a nail health expert. She's not like a fancy manicurist like Miss Pop. She said that these are called, she went like, all right, I totally know what you mean. They're called keratin granulations.
Oh, and so your striations term wasn't that far off.
No, it was not like oceans. Yeah. And like Miss Pop said, they're from prolonged nail polish wear. So what happens is when you remove the polish that, you know, my monthly or bi-monthly pedicure, the superficial nail layers of the nails are removed along with it. But she said it's actually like just a cosmetic issue. So I don't need to, you know, feel like I'm some kind of leper on the subway.
So there's no fungus in there.
Well, it's so funny you mentioned that. She said if it's persistent, it could be superficial white onychomycosis. A type of nail fungus. And if that doesn't go away, you should see a doctor. So she has a little solution for if this is something that comes up occasionally. She says she developed this Dr. Dana nail renewal system. It's good for those keratin granulations. Or she said you can wait to grow it out. This is the free option. or she said you can cover it with polish. So it's not going to kill you if you put more polish on top of it.
I know, but it feels like you're just perpetuating whatever the issue is.
That's the thing.
It's like chicken or the egg. Do I want to have ugly toenails so I can wait and not have polish and have ugly toenails?
Oh, I know. I think I should have thought about this more in the winter, not like sandal season.
Oh, good point.
But I did ask her, I said, does the fungus one, does it hurt? Does it itch? Like, how do I know
if we're in the fungus mode? We're past granules. Yeah. We're into fungus.
Yes. And she said, if you've had it for a long time, you should go see a dermatologist.
Ugh.
I know.
My little striations have been there quite a long time.
Mine have been there for like years.
But they don't ever change and get thicker or yellower. I just thought it was, I don't know what
no.
I thought it was.
If you see thickness or yellowness, run the to like a derm or a nail
but
expert.
But if not, maybe you just got some blonde
hesitant. You got some keratin granulations.
Granulations.
Okay, so I thought that was quite useful, right?
And so, and is there any moisturizers or anything like that? Like, could I slather it in like cuticle oil?
You know, you can use the, I really want to try the Dr. Dana one because that seems the most comprehensive. But Miss Pop did have a suggestion, and she says she likes to use the CND Rescue RXX over it, or just like you said, some cuticle oil.
Just to keep it moisturized while it's growing.
I don't think it's going to like, it's not going to reverse it, but it's a good thing to help.
So what's on your toes right now?
Just
baby
like
pink.
Just that baby pink. It's the Chanel Ballerina over it. But like if you look from far away, you can't see. But if you look close, not cute.
You're cute from here.
Oh, thank you. Hope you guys found that helpful. Jen, you know something that depresses me to no end?
Animal cruelty.
Oh, yeah, yes. And that's part of this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Animal cruelty is not part of this in a very like explicit way, but it's all part of the same sick cycle.
Which is?
The destruction of our world.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. We're going here. Let's do it.
We're going here. So like basically we know that the planet is in danger and species are in danger. And I mean, I don't want to get too deep and heavy on this. This is a fun podcast, but like I get depressed about this daily.
I know. I've noticed this about you in the last year that you have like a existential like worry about the world. I have noticed that.
But I think it's
everybody.
I hope it's everyone. If you're paying attention, you should be depressed about this. It's not a good scene right now. But This actually
is not a good scene.
No, it's really bad.
Earth, like 2019.
I'm sorry, like the animals have a freaking place to live. Like there's world poverty. It's like, okay, like I know this is not what you guys signed up for.
It's this way of thinking that like if you start going down that path in your head, it can get dark real quick.
Okay, so I know that I've made a lot of friends in the past 20 seconds.
I can hear you guys turning it off.
Do you guys feel the same way too? I really do. I can't. Every time I read the news or see something, I'm like, this is horrible. It's the worst time. But it's even affecting the beauty world, okay, which is like a place of, you know, frivolity. Frankincense, which is an I called it an herb. I'm so jumbled up right now.
That's fine.
It's like a spice.
Yes, it's a resin, isn't it?
A resin, yes.
From a tree.
It's an aromatic resin, excuse me.
Oh, I think you said spice because it's like incense. It's often used in incense.
I'm thinking of the three wise men, you know?
I literally knew where your brain was, yes. No, it's a resin from a tree. Go on.
So it's this resin from a tree, but this population of trees that's used to produce it, it's going away. Why? Overpopulation, people like cutting down the forest where these things are.
So what is the tree?
So it comes from a tree called Boswellia, and it's a genus of trees and shrubs, and it's usually found in Africa, the Arabian Peninsula, parts of India, and you know, basically what happens is they extract it, like it's like frankincense tappers.
Almost
they
like make, maple syrup.
Yeah, exactly. They make gashes into some of these trees. The sap seeps out, and then it turns into, like, this is so gross, the way the article, and we'll link to it, it's in the New York Times, a scab of resin. And that is actually sold raw, or it's turned into an oil or incense.
I actually bought a couple hunks of it when I was in Morocco.
Really?
Was I contributing to the destruction of our environment?
You know, you may have, but I know that we all do things that we're, you know...
I didn't know. Is this, like, something that
but not you, like, I don't think you, Jen, are responsible for
but
this.
But it is an endangered... like species, this tree.
Half the intact forest are going to be gone within 20 years. It's this overforesting. It's the overpopulation. It's the whole thing.
That's a shame because that stuff smelled delightful.
It smells so gorgeous, which is why it's in so many fragrances.
Oh, yes. That was my part of the topic. I was supposed to do the homework on that part. And I did. You thought I forgot my homework.
No, I did it. I did it.
No, I
was like, hit it, Jen.
I do love frankincense. And it has that like church smell, but like of the wood polish of the pews, but also the leftover incense, but not like in your face incense.
It's a very special scent. This is why it's like so biblical. It's very special.
I mean, I can't smell it and not get a church connotation, but that's just because, you know, my upbringing or whatever. That's what I associate it with. But it's beautiful. Did you know it's in Charlotte Tilbury's Scent of a Dream?
I could believe that, yeah.
Because there's that like...
the spiciness
there's
to
it. Underneath to the musk, there's a spiciness that's really nice. Jo Malone, London, Incense and Cedrat. That's a gorgeous one, but a lovely oriental. This one is one of my favorites. Aesop. Do you know their fragrances?
No.
Yeah. So it's called, I don't know how to say it, Hwyl, H-W-Y-L. They launched it like 2 years ago.
Oh, that's like oil, right?
It smells like their soaps and their like room sprays in that way of like...
expensive.
Clean, expensive dude who just like is earthy and just built like a pine bench with his hands kind of thing in a good way. Memo Paris's La Labella and even Anique Goutal. I know you've smelled this one. And Sense Flamboyant. Which is oriental, their big one of their bigger scents.
You know what's another biggie?
What?
That's it. Chanel No. 5 has it.
Yeah. And now we're not saying that all of them use the natural resin. It's possible they use a synthetic version, a molecule that smells like that, correct?
Good catch. Yeah. So we're not wagging our fingers at the brands that we've just rattled off. But I wanted to chat with Mandy Aftel about
this. Oh, she's great. Yeah.
Mandy Aftel, if you guys don't know her, she is a fantastic perfumer. She really works in naturals. Her brand is called Aftelier, right? Aftelier Perfumes. We'll put a link to it. So I asked her, like, really what is happening here? Because I have the New York Times article about Mandy's on the ground. And she said that frankincense is really just not harvested sustainably. There's, like I said, the fires, the grazing of the livestock. It's still, frankincense is so, in part, it's such a big part of beauty and also in religious traditions.
Yeah.
That it would just be such a shame.
Can we just get the myrrh instead? It kind of smells the same, right? Get the myrrh.
I said, what else is also in danger? And she said, rosewood.
Oh.
Sandalwood.
I knew about sandalwood, yes.
But there are places to get the sandalwood sustainably now. So I don't really know what the takeaway is for you guys, you know, in terms of you know, buying this or that.
You know what I'm going to say?
What is it?
You know how everybody's like, oh, you need to buy naturals. They're better for the environment, blah, blah, blah. Here's one spot where you might want to think about the synthetic actually might be better for the environment.
Well, I asked Mandy, I said, do you think that the rise of natural fragrances is what's causing this? She thought that was a bridge too far.
Okay, because also not that many people use all natural fragrances yet.
But I do think that the sustainability conversation is one that is you know, it goes to so many different things, mm-hmm. not just what you see on the news, but like we are all a part of it. We are all connected to this earth.
Mm-hmm. And we should think about that before we go tapping trees in Morocco and bringing home hunks of resin.
Sorry.
So it's time for your like bills portion, your law and legal bills portion of the podcast. You ready for your legal update?
Yes.
I picture that. Remember those cartoons that you when you were little, like, I'm just a bill up on Capitol Hill. Do you not know this?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, my God. This is like how I learned about how our government works from some funny little cartoon with songs. Anyway. This is Jen's legal podcast. Tune in. No, there has been some amazing news in California that I could not let our episode go by without pointing out. On July 3rd, the state became the first to ban racial discrimination against people based on their hairstyle.
I applaud this, but it's like it's 2019.
So then I did some research because I was like, wait, that's not already illegal?
I thought it was illegal in a lot of states.
Well, so what it is that even though, you know, the First Amendment protects us in certain ways and racial discrimination is protected against, not many laws connect hairstyle to race.
Oh.
Because also think about like how much hairstyles have evolved over the years and just how open we are to knowing where styles come from and what they mean culturally.
Right.
So basically now they've reworded what was already part of California law to say that it's inclusive of traits historically associated with race.
So let's get real specific.
Yeah, because think about it, including but not limited to hair texture and protective hairstyles. And I was looking back through some of the incidences over time in the United States of girls being banned from school or not being able to go to prom because of the hairstyles mm-hmm. they chose. A kid who was a wrestler who had
the
dreadlocks.
It's so disgusting. That video is so disgusting. He's a wrestler. I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about because this was all over the place. He was a wrestler and he had locks and he had to cut them at the game. He didn't cut them himself. That was even more disgusting. This woman, this like beastly woman, was cutting his locks because he couldn't
go. It makes my heart hurt
inside. It was stomach turning so that he could play the game.
Also, there's religious connotations attached to a lot of hairstyles that people need to know about as well. So this isn't yet a law all over the United States. And I was looking around and I could not find, please correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, any other countries that actually have built this into their law to protect hairstyles based on their racial relevance. Mm-hmm. And I saw incidences in Australia and a couple other countries where they had the same type of incidences where people were discriminated against because of their hairstyle in the workplace, in the school. So I think that California is a first here. Tell me if I'm wrong. But I just want to say, like, kudos to California.
California's always leading the way, aren't they?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. And I hope that if this is an issue in other states, it becomes a more federally mandated type thing, or at least other states adopt the same type of law. Because I'm sorry, how hard was that, California? You write a little do-to-do, amend the bill, bring it up, governor signs it, good to go, right? This is how government should work.
Get shit done. I know. Okay, something positive.
There we go.
Something's moving in the right direction.
The trees are disappearing, but
the world is on fire.
I know, there's still a lot of other issues, but I just wanted to share that good news on our beauty podcast.
Yes, thank you for that. We are here with Dr. Francesca Fusco. She's a New York dermatologist and a dermatological surgeon, and she is best known for her facial rejuvenation without the knife.
No knife.
Correct.
So we want to talk to you about that and a topic that a lot of you guys have been sending questions about, redness and all the different types of flare-ups and the causes and the treatments, the whole thing. So this is perfect for summer. But before we get to that, let's talk about you. Thank you for coming, Dr. Fusco.
I'm so excited to be here.
You guys, it's her first podcast.
This
Everybody
is so
be
great.
Nice.
It's my first.
We're so happy to have you. You are such a name in dermatology, especially for non-surgical facial rejuvenation. So I think when people hear non-surgical rejuvenation, they think about Botox, they think about fillers. But what else can be done to really kind of rejuvenate the face?
So non-surgical rejuvenation means anything short of surgery that can be done to make you look younger, smoother, lifted, or address any of the signs of aging that you may have that range from brown spots, right up to jowls, sagging, and wrinkles.
The whole picture.
The whole picture. So when I see patients who are a little bit shy or not ready for surgery, we first address a good regimen for them to be using on their skin because that's very important. We review the proper products to use. And then we talk about injectables like toxins, fillers, lasers, peels, tighteners, microneedling. There's just a whole slew of
Sounds
things
like
out there.
Sounds like a very big toolkit.
I want all of it.
Yeah.
Big toolkit.
How old are the people who usually are in this non-surgical rejuvenation window?
So I've seen people as young as age 25 coming in for what they're calling prejuvenation. Mm. They want to start addressing things before it happens.
Rejuvenation? Yeah. It's like prejuvenation.
Yeah. They'll come in with a picture of their mom who has deep 11 lines and say, I look like my mom, I talk like my mom, and I don't want to get the number 11 lines. What can I do?
Oh, wow.
So that would be the prejuvenation.
Wait, what can you do, asking selfishly, about this, like the marionette line? So how can you prejuvenate those?
You mean if you don't have them yet, how do you prevent
if you
them?
You think they might be in your future?
So I would say, number one, make sure you're wearing some kind of a sunblock every day because we know that UV light contributes to the breakdown of collagen.
Yeah.
I would encourage people to use my favorite, which is retinol.
Yep.
Which is getting better and better.
Retinol
in general, the vitamin A family, which is getting so much better every single day. 20 years ago, when you talked about vitamin A or retinol, you think about a face being red and peely, and now it becomes available in so many forms that are easy to use and well tolerated. And then as you get into the next step, you have to look at your lines and say, why are they there? Have you lost volume from your face? And if you have, you'd want to replace that volume either in the cheeks to lift up and make it look smoother.
Yeah.
Or there is some very fine fillers that you could put right into those lines, which are called nasolabial.
Oh, you
from
can.
Your nose there. And they're very fine, so you don't have to worry about volumizing or
Kind of
up.
Like a monkey.
Right. You don't want that monkey look.
Or the lion.
So,
yeah. Or the lion. Yeah.
Right. So there are great newer fillers that are out that can do that. Bellotero is one. Restylane has one called Refine and Define. And you can attack these etched lines beautifully.
So another trouble area for a lot of people, and it's funny, somebody actually asked me about this week, and they said, what can you actually do? Because creams don't work. This area, the jowls, the kind of like the jaw.
Yeah. Let's be honest. No topical is going to lift back up a sagging jawline.
That's true.
It softens with age.
Real talk,
weight.
Dr. Frisco.
You're right. The gravity really gets to that place. So very popular is something called UL therapy. Mm-hmm. So UL therapy is focused ultrasound energy that targets many layers along the jawline, tightening and lifting it. Something newer now are thread lifts.
Okay.
And this is where a very, very thin thread that if you look really closely has little bumps or cones on it is inserted underneath the skin.
Freaky.
And pulled up. Yeah, it sounds freaky, but it's very nice. It works very well. And there's no actual stitches that you have to put in the skin.
Does it hurt? I feel like if someone's threading my face, I'm going to feel it.
So it doesn't
just feel
hurt.
Weird?
It doesn't hurt any more than toxin injections or filler injections. And we numb the area where the needle is introduced. Mm-hmm. So it's very
Is that what you have on your table here? Did you bring us
that? That is what I have.
She has a little show and tell.
Props. I'm the only one who brings props.
Oh, we get to
podcast.
See what it looks like.
Yeah, this is it right here.
I actually saw
a
doctor put one of
Please.
Those in someone and watched her pull it up, and it was like strings, like a puppet. It really worked. How long does that last?
It lasts about 9 months. And the way I describe it to patients is, if a facelift is a home run hit, this will get you to about third base.
But that's not bad.
So if it's 9 months, like compared to the price of a facelift, I'm assuming it's a lot less expensive.
It's a lot less. It would start at about $2,000, and the charge goes a lot depending on how many threads are placed.
This is like when you look in the mirror and you pull back your face. You know how
exactly.
Everybody does that? It's like doing that in real time, huh?
Exactly, yeah.
Ooh, and that's an in-office kind of like it's done like as if you would do Botox.
Exactly.
You could go back to work.
You can go back to work, yes.
Yeah, are the benefits immediately visible?
Yes. And they actually get better over the next couple of weeks.
Why?
Because it integrates into your skin. A little bit of swelling goes down that can occur at the time of the procedure. And
wow.
Then it's...
So, okay, we've heard of thread lifts like throughout the years, but this is the newest iteration of it. And why is it so much more fabulous than the ones from, you know, that Jen and I wrote about years ago?
So they're finer.
Okay.
And they're made of materials that are less likely to be rejected.
Rejected like by the body, like by itchy, like that kind of thing?
Yes, they look very natural. They come in many different sizes.
Okay. Is this an animal byproduct by chance?
So this is suture material.
Oh, it's like it's the same that you would do a stitches with.
It's exactly the same thing.
It's a physical.
It's called PDO.
This is like PDO. While Botox or filler are like, I don't say they're chemicals, but they're like substances.
They're liquids.
This is literally just a string.
So a string sounds thick. It's a lot thinner than that. It's like the thickness
of a hair.
It's a
mechanical device. It's like a pulley system.
Yes, pulley system. I like
that. It's a pulley system.
Yes. We should take a little picture if we're allowed to put it on our Instagram so people can see it.
Let's do that after.
So this is one of your non-surgical things that you're excited about. What else is exciting
Well, the biggest, as you know, is toxin.
Are you still excited about toxin?
It's still.
After all these years, still crazy about toxin.
For my patient population, if I said to them, you can only have one thing, they'd say toxin.
I think I'd say that.
I don't know.
It does so
much. I
think
I would say filler.
Maybe the filler.
I feel like filler because I feel like the face falls. And I feel like you can use topicals. Look, I'm telling the derm. I feel like you can really use topicals.
Tell us, Dr. Jeff.
To smooth out or like blur lines, but nothing is going to yank you up or fill in those grooves.
But toxin will lift a heavy brow.
True, true.
Duke it out, ladies. Dr. Jess versus
and
Dr.
And toxin, Prudhoe. When placed in your neck muscles, will tighten it.
Okay.
Actually, somebody I work with just got toxin for her jawline to make it look a little bit
the
more...
The Nefertiti lift.
Oh, the Nefertiti lift. Yeah. Who gave it that name?
I think Dr. Fred Brandt.
Okay, we'll let him have it. So there's a lot... In short, there's a lot that people can do without going under the knife.
But much.
I'm assuming not everybody is walking into your practice just, rejuvenate me, Dr. Fusco. So we actually have like a couple reader questions, if we may.
Okay.
Good, yeah. This is a topic that has been coming up again and again, I think because of summer, mostly, I'm guessing. But let's talk about redness, can we? It's a concern for people with many skin tones, right? First of all, we should get that out of the way.
Yes.
And so when someone comes in and they say, I'm worried about redness, what are you immediately looking at on their face? Like, what are you zoning in on and thinking, okay, going through in your head this checklist of like, what could it be?
So I'm looking at their face to see the distribution. Is it all over their face? Is it also on their neck?
Oh.
Or is it patchy? Is there a rash associated with it? Are they flaky looking in the corners of their nose and between their eyebrows? Are there any bumps associated with it? So that's the immediate look. And then history is critical.
Why?
How long have you had it?
Mm.
Any family members have it? What have you been using? What have you been doing? You have to be like a skin detective.
Yeah, I was about to say, this feels like a detective.
Yeah, and then you just narrow it down. I would say the two most common causes of redness that I see are sensitive skin and people that have rosacea.
That's what
I feel. Two different things?
Two different things. Although people with rosacea have sensitive skin.
Mm. Let's get into that a little bit, because I feel like every time I go to a doctor or facialist or whatever, they look at me and they're like, oh, you have rosacea, like without even asking me any questions, just because I have redness. I guess you see a pattern of where that might be. But what is rosacea and how is it different from sensitive skin?
So rosacea is a skin condition that can affect anyone. Mm-hmm. And it can start as somebody saying that their skin gets red sometimes or that they flush easily.
So there's no like test to be like, I did a patch test and they have blah, blah, blah yeast.
No.
So they must have rosacea.
No, you have to put together the history, the clinical appearance of it. So rosacea could just be somebody that flushes easily. It can be accompanied by redness that's caused by dilated or big opened blood vessels.
Mm-hmm.
You can have little bumps.
What are those bumps when people have rosacea and they have bumpies?
So those little bumps are inflamed skin. Okay. Some people think they're pimples, but if you squeeze them, nothing comes out.
Okay, so stop squeezing, everyone.
So always don't never squeeze, never squeeze. And the most one of the most severe forms is they call it rhinophyma, and that's when you see somebody that has a nose that has become swollen and enlarged, and the pores are very prominent.
Is that common or no?
It is not common.
Okay. So how, for our listeners, is there a way where if they have redness, they can deduce themselves if they have rosacea? And if so, what is that?
So it's probably best to go to a dermatologist. Yes. And you're going every year for your skin check anyway, so ask your derm. But if it's intermittent and you notice that it's triggered by certain products that you're using, you might think about that being caused by the products. Mm. If it is accompanied by little bumps, if it's triggered by things that dilate blood vessels like caffeine, spicy foods, alcohol, and sun, that would be more towards the rosacea part.
Okay. Right. Asking for myself here.
Yeah.
I don't have any of those things, but my redness is on my chin, my two cheeks, my forehead. And it's just like I look flushed there and you can see the blood vessels beneath my skin there. But it's not like it gets worse when I eat spicy food, because these are the questions that people
have.
I think
of as a red person.
Right. And people don't. I'm very olive, so it's like weird to them. But yet, every time people – they put on – what are those things called, those glasses you guys wear, the doctors? The
loops.
Okay, yeah. They put on the loop. Yeah. They get up close. They're like, you have rosacea. I guess my blood vessels
are
crazy.
So they must be seeing the dilated blood vessels.
So that is another sign of it.
Yes.
And even though I don't have bumps or anything like that. So what do people do about rosacea?
So you go see your doctor.
But what if you can't? You're,
okay. You log on to the rosacea website. There's
we'll put a link to one.
You can put a link there, and it will guide you in terms of good products to use.
Yeah, what do you recommend?
Things to avoid. Well, things that are very gentle, don't have fragrance in them, are not harsh, no abrasives.
So we can't do Biologique Recherche P50 lotion.
Do we love that? One of my patients calls it Jesus in a bottle.
Oh, my God.
Seriously.
Do you like it personally?
I love it. I have to tell you, it's a go-to for me when somebody comes in and they've tried everything for breakouts.
Oh, really?
Everything. Everything. I'll say, here, try it. And I would say 50% of them just love it.
And just sidebar, we're going to go back to redness in a second. The Biologique, what else besides acne do you like it for?
People who are oily skinned, people who insist on using a toner.
Okay. But maybe not the best for the rosacea patient,
no.
I'm guessing, because
no.
It has acids in it, right?
And
it
a fragrance.
Oh, and a fragrance. Okay. And so these are all things that can trigger what, the blood vessels to dilate?
Yes.
Put a little something with synthetic fragrance and my blood vessels go crazy?
Yeah, you're sensitive to it. And so you react.
It's all tied up together.
Oh, our listeners love to debate this. They really duke it out. What about a product with essential oils?
I would say test it before using it. Just use it in a small part like your chin and see how your body reacts to it, because I can't say that it's good for rosacea, nor can I say that it would trigger it.
Is this one of those conditions that like is so personal to the person?
Yes,
yeah. So
is.
If you've taken out some of these triggers that you mentioned, are there things that like can actually help, not just prevent a flare up or whatever, but get rid of dilated blood vessels, non-surgical procedures, topicals, anything like that?
So most of the topicals are prescription. There is some who feel that there's an overgrowth of germs or bacteria in the skin of the pores that can contribute to this. And so it's treated with a medication called metronidazole. It's also known as Metrogel
or Noritate. I've heard of Metrogel.
So that's been a gold standard through the years.
And do you prescribe that sometimes?
I do. It's one of the few that's easily covered by the insurance companies. Sulfur-based lotions help.
Really?
Azelaic acid, which goes by the name of Finacea, is also very helpful. And what's really great about it is it's tolerated by everybody, and we're even allowed to prescribe it for pregnant women.
Azelaic acid.
Azelaic acid. Finacea is the brand name.
Okay.
There's something new out there now called Soolantra.
And, love these things.
When did cilantro come out?
About 2 years ago.
Okay.
And cilantro contains something called ivermectin. Mm-hmm. And ivermectin is something that's used to treat parasites. So it's believed that by applying it topically to your skin, it could attack parasites and organisms in your pores that might be causing or aggravating your rosacea.
I have definitely heard that from people that have told me that they're little bugs and it's like the poop of the little bugs causes the rosacea. I'm sorry, I really dumbed it down. But
is that really
the Demodex folliculorum and mites?
And mites, like skin mites, right?
Yeah.
But let's say if you don't have rosacea, are you just resistant to the mites? Like, why?
Because we all have them on our skin, right?
Yeah.
So I think what it might be is there could be an overgrowth of the mites. Like there's just this level where you could live with it and then all of a sudden there's an overgrowth of it.
Oh. My microbiome is not happy.
Exactly.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Great. I've got mites.
So what if you just have I've got mites. What if you just have plain old sensitive skin?
So you must become aware of the products that you're using on your skin and what the triggers are. So it's, again, another very personal thing. What I might be sensitive to certain things and not to others, and you may be the opposite. So avoid things with strong fragrances, granular scrubs. Be careful with retinols, or if you use one, use a very low concentration one. Be careful with acne meds, benzoyl peroxide, salicylic acid. These can be harsh and irritating on the skin.
Do you think that there's been an uptick in people who actually have sensitive skin? Because I feel like every person I talk to is, they say they have sensitive skin. And I'm not really sure they do.
Thinking about my practice, I would say a small uptick, yes.
Okay.
Over the course of like how many years have you been practicing?
A long time.
And why do you think that is? People are just more aware?
Aware. There's so many more products out there. Another thing is when people try a product, they don't give it enough time. Mm. So you try something for 3 or 4 days, it's not giving you the results you want. You switch to this, you switch to this, you switch to this. So your skin is in shock.
Okay. So sensitive skin is like a journey for everybody. They got to figure out what's for them. We have a couple other questions about things that are causing redness or just red things on the face. Like, this is what you do at cocktail parties, right?
Right. I do.
So a lot of people have these like little red flat dots that are really bright red colored on their chest often and sometimes on their face too. I've been told they're cherry angiomas, but I want to ask you.
You're right.
Is that
they are called cherry angiomas.
And do they come with age? Where are they from? How do you deal with those?
So
we're getting through all the redness
now. In the British literature, they're referred to as senile angiomas, but I don't like
that. Okay.
And they can appear as early as age 30. They're benign and they are so easy to get rid of. In my office, we call that the patient's book for what's called a search and destroy. Search and destroy, where I have this tiny little electric needle. It's called a hyfricator or a desiccator. And you touch it with that and it turns gray and that's it.
And they don't come
back. And
it
goes away. It turns gray and then it goes away, right?
Should I tell her about my experiment in DIY dermatology?
Sure. I may have to close my ears.
It's from an earlier episode I saw on YouTube that you could heat up a paperclip on an open flame and pop it. She's not recommending it, but that you're basically heating it.
Yeah.
She was whispering. You couldn't hear.
It seems
said, yes,
very dangerous. I cannot advocate for this.
Okay. No. Other red
I cannot
things.
Advocate.
Let's move on from the cherry angiomas.
Okay.
What about the little veins? You don't have rosacea, but like a lot of people, I notice them around their nostrils.
Yes.
What are those?
I know someone who had them when they were very young, too.
Yeah, it's not just an aging thing, right?
Yeah.
So you see that in rosacea.
Okay.
You see that in rosacea, and people call them broken blood vessels.
Yeah.
But really what they are dilated blood vessels at the surface of the skin, and they can be treated very nicely with lasers.
And what does the laser do?
The laser heats it up, which causes it to collapse upon itself, and then it just gets absorbed by the body.
Yeah, but that's like, don't you need those vessels to
move?
You don't need blood vessels.
You need blood vessels, but those at the surface you don't need.
Ah. So it's not like they're like bringing blood to your skin and then not you're going to have a problem in that area if you get rid of that blood vessel.
There's plenty of other blood vessels.
I'm sure.
Yeah, these are like
the
extra ones.
Got it.
Spares.
Right.
So when I exercise, I feel quite embarrassed sometimes. I don't know if I feel embarrassed anymore. I'm getting older. But like I used to get very embarrassed in like dance class or like just like later in like, you know, fitness classes. My arms
get so bright, flaming red. It's crazy.
Just your arms.
My arms, a little bit my face, but just the arms. Do you know anything about like body redness? And even sometimes if I get embarrassed, I won't blush so much in my face. My body will get red.
What's going on there?
The chest and the arms.
I guess you have a very active circulatory system in the surface
She's
of your
flushing.
Skin. And yeah, you're just flushing. Now, okay. Why your chest and your arms?
Weird, right?
Why do people flush then? Because it's summertime and you look around on the subway and everybody's like bright red. Is that – what's our body doing
it's
when that
It's part of releasing heat.
It releases heat. So what is happening inside your body?
Open up to release heat. What is happening?
Like the blood vessels are dilating?
Blood vessels have muscles on them. And so if the muscles are stimulated in the right way, they can constrict and close or open up so that you could release heat.
Oh, so it's our body saying like I'm overheating and this is trying to let – like a dog panting.
Yeah.
But instead Jess gets red arms and I get
you
red
got
face.
It.
Yeah.
Beautiful
okay.
imagery right there.
Yeah.
Thank you. So is there anything else we didn't touch on with redness that you have people come in for? And
yes.
What else? What else
so,
is there?
So seborrheic dermatitis.
Tell
or
us all
face
about
dandruff.
It. Oh, okay.
It's where people get red between their eyebrows
yeah.
and the corners of the nose, but it's accompanied by flaking.
Is this hereditary?
It can be, but it doesn't have to be.
Okay.
And so that's another one where you have an overgrowth of yeast. It's face dandruff. It's the same as what you get on your scalp.
So is that quite common?
It's not uncommon.
Okay.
Do you put some Head and Shoulders on your face?
You could.
Oh, okay. What do you do? What would the doctor recommend?
You could. I would prescribe a topical cream that targets yeast.
Okay.
And if it's red, maybe just for a couple of days to calm it down, give a very, very low dose weak cortisone cream, mix it with the yeast, and then apply it.
What if you have redness, like all these things we're talking about, rosacea, sensitive skin, redness, however you want to call it, where does makeup come into the picture?
So when you apply your makeup, you should apply it with a very gentle sponge, pat it in if possible, and use something that says it's hypoallergenic.
Does that really mean anything anymore, hypoallergenic?
So it just means that it has less things that can trigger it than other things.
What are some brands that your patients have had success with makeup if they're trying to like cover redness and things?
So people are going with what they call clean brands.
we know this
term
well.
This comes up every single week on
Fab
Mascara.
Things that don't contain certain preservatives. Alme is a very popular one that a lot of people like to use.
Alme definitely has preservatives.
Yes,
though,
it does.
On the shelves like
we
that.
Have in our office something called Oxygenetics, which is what we give to people after they've had laser. So you could actually put this right on top of skin been lasered.
And this is
Color
makeup.
Science. Yeah. Color Science also has
they're powders.
An excellent line. Their powders are terrific.
Okay. And those would be also good for people with sensitive skin, I imagine, if you put it right on lasered skin.
Exactly.
Why not?
So can we move towards like bigger products? What are the products that you are constantly – I was intrigued when you said, you know, people come in for the rejuvenation and you said you start first with the products.
Right.
And then move on to the procedures. What are those products that we should be using to rejuvenate our skin or prejuvenate or whatever?
Of course – wearing something that protects you from the sun.
Okay.
What's your favorite sunscreen?
These days it's Elta.
I like Elta MD too. Which one do you like?
The clear one. My patients love it too. And anything that encourages them to use it every day, I love it too. So Elta is one. And trying to think of another one that's a favorite.
Okay, so sunscreen. Well,
let's just go with Elta.
So you've got to have the sunscreen.
I love retinol. I mentioned that before. And there's a brand called Skin Better. I'm not financially affiliated with anything I'm mentioning. And Skin Better makes something called a conjugated retinol.
What's that?
Where they mix it with a little lactic acid. And somehow that makes the skin tolerate it better.
Oh, wow.
So there's a topical one called Alpharet. And they've just come out with little pads. That are soaked with their retinol that you can apply, and they're textured, so you're gently exfoliating.
That sounds easy. I don't know this brand, Skin Better. That's
Skin Better. I brought you some.
Ooh,
thank you.
What a goodie bag.
Well, you actually mentioned sunscreen, which makes me think about. Sorry, back to the redness real quick.
Yeah.
Sunburns. We didn't even talk about like the most obvious thing in the summer. What do you recommend for a sunburn?
So, if it's just a mild sunburn, I recommend cool compresses. Milk is one of my favorite things to tell patients to use. Take some whole milk, pour it in a bowl with some ice cubes, and somehow the cool temperature of the milk with the ice cubes, the fat content of the milk is very soothing and drawing on the skin.
So you put a washcloth in there, you're saying?
Put a washcloth in and then hold it to the face. Okay. We have an LED machine in our office, so we invite people with sunburns to come in and they get a 45-second LED treatment.
Wait, so light? More light is making it better?
But this is a light of a wavelength that's very healing on damaged skin.
What color are these LED lights?
Yellow. These are yellow.
Could you do like one of those over-the-counter LED yellow devices?
I've
stumped her.
I don't know. I guess
but
it would depend
in treatment,
on which one.
And yeah. I'm sure they're calibrated to be effective at the doctor's office. If I just go buy one on, QVC, Etsy. It's not necessarily Etsy.
I'll make it, my cherry angioma paperclip heat-up device could make me millions.
Yeah.
You don't
good
know.
Hack.
So milk compresses. And what about those in-store like icy aloe gels? Are those good?
Fantastic, yeah.
You still? Oh, really? Okay, that's okay.
Yeah, I love those. Also, taking an Advil or an aspirin will help bring down the inflammation. And if there's any blistering involved, probably call your dermatologist. Mm-hmm. So that
you've done serious damage at that point. Yeah.
Can we go back to anti-aging?
Yes,
rejuvenation. Sorry. All the words. What else? So we've got our retinol. We've got our SPF. Right. Is there anything else that somebody who is not going down without a fight needs in their kit?
So I like vitamin C.
Okay.
I think vitamin C, I know that vitamin C, according to studies, is very helpful at neutralizing and quenching the free radicals, especially if you're going to be in the sun. So I recommend a topical vitamin C lotion or cream.
Favorite?
I got to say CE Ferulic by SkinCeuticals. Mm. Still, it's everybody's favorite. It's easy to apply. It's well tolerated. It's cosmetically elegant. I love it.
So that goes on before your sunscreen?
That would go on before the sunscreen, yeah.
Got it. All right. That's it. That's it. Now we're going to be 12 years old, look 12 years old forever with all that stuff?
It's very simple. SPF, retinol, vitamin C.
At least that I would recommend. And then, when you ask about the other things, it really depends on a person's skin type, how much time they have. So there's a variety of moisturizers and balms and ointments.
This is the portion of the podcast where I'm going to ask you about your eyebrows. You didn't know that was coming, did you? They're beautiful.
She looks so shocked right now.
She did. First of all, they move. So if you're getting tox, whoever's doing it is doing an excellent job because you look very rejuvenated.
Thank you.
But do you get them shaped by someone or do you do that yourself? Because the arch is like divine.
I have Grandma Justine's eyebrows. Ah. I was blessed, honest.
Truly?
Honest. And my mother brought me up always telling me, do not touch your eyebrows.
Was she right? Is that true that if you overpluck, then it's
oh, totally.
Just, yeah, absolutely. So
yeah,
I really,
nice.
Do you
pencil them in?
No, I don't. They really, are you sure? Really?
Yeah.
They look good?
Yeah, okay. They're great. Oh,
good enough that
you.
I wanted to stop the podcast and
thank
ask
you.
About them.
They're very, like, they look, they're very arched.
Like, yeah, there's like a nice arch to it.
That's
My
grandma.
Any other personal makeup products that you can share with us before we let you go? What about mascara? Come on.
Mascara. Lancôme Definicile.
It's a classic.
It is a favorite of mine. Gosh, I didn't know you were going to ask me these
Sorry,
questions.
Sorry, she didn't write to prep on this.
I do use Color Science powder. I love that.
Yeah.
I love any eyeliner that doesn't bleed or smudge.
Have you found one?
Yeah, which one?
During the summer, it's really
still looking.
Tough. I think I have oily eyelids. I don't know. Whatever I put on at 6 o'clock is on my lower lid a little bit later on. I've been playing around with that product called Plexiderm.
I don't know this. What's Plexiderm?
So Plexiderm is all over QVC or HSN, one of those. And it comes from shale. And they do this demo where they apply it to somebody who has bags underneath their eyes. And you immediately, in real time...
Oh, I need to see this.
See it tighten
up. Is it for
up.
Bags or is it for like darkness too?
It's for bags.
Just for bags.
They might say it's for darkness if the darkness is from the bag.
You said it's made from shale?
Yeah, it's an extract from shale. That's what they say. And if you learn how to really carefully apply it underneath your eyes, the bags look like 50% better.
Is it removable later? It's almost like making a film? Okay, I think I know what she's talking about.
But it's not – remember those when they used to make those films and it looked great and then you smiled and it cracked?
Yeah, cracking.
It's not like egg white. Oh. It stays.
So I want to try this now.
Experimenting
so,
with it.
So, yeah, I love playing and experimenting
and
with
things. And
what
do you think of it so far?
I think it's good if you learn how to apply it properly and don't smile or move your eyes for about 5 minutes after you apply it.
I'm just picturing you walking around all po-faced. Like don't talk to me. Right.
But then your bags are all, like, sucked in and shelled and plexidermed. That's a new one.
Yeah.
I like it.
Always learning.
Yeah. It's true.
Can we go back to something with redness that I forgot to say that I wanted to mention to
you? Yes, this is the portion where you get to say whatever
lasers,
you forgot to say.
We were talking about lasers and things you could do for redness. And some lasers have downtime or the risk of bruising. So now there is a laser called Aerolase. It's an ND-YAG laser. And it is of a wavelength that it's gentle and there's no downtime. And you can come in every 3 weeks and get your redness or whatever your skin problem is Aerolased. And you will look better.
How many times do you have to do that for it to be gone?
It could be anywhere from 2 visits to 6 visits, depending on how serious.
Wow.
And we just got a new fantastic brown spot laser called PicoSure, which is a real game changer because there's no downtime and it really gets rid of the brown spots.
Really? Mm-hmm. Does it hurt?
No.
Do you do it all over or just where the spots are?
You could do it all over the face. You could do it on the cheeks if somebody has melasma, and you can just attack little brown sunspots as well.
Does that work on all skin tones?
Yes.
That's a plus, right?
You set it appropriately for the skin tone.
Mm. Oh, okay. I see. PicoSure, that one's
called. PicoSure.
Okay. So we're going to send people to your website where they can learn about all this and maybe come to see you if they're lucky, right?
Aww,
you've got all the toys.
Come on.
Yeah, come play with your toys. Thank you so much for sharing all your knowledge.
Thank you.
With
this was so exciting.
Not
my
too
first
hard,
podcast.
Right?
No.
You nailed it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms. Listen, there are so many skincare products on the market claiming to help reduce fine lines and wrinkles, and you know I will try most of them. But how do you know your products are actually working? Some research to back up the claims. That's why Jess and I are all about Ritual. They created a wrinkle support skin supplement and conducted a clinical study to take the guesswork out of skincare. Ritual's Hyacera is now a part of my skincare routine, and I got in the habit of taking it every day by putting the cute little purple jar right next to my sunscreen. It looks nice on my vanity, and let's be honest, I love that. But once I stuck with the habit, I really noticed a difference in my skin. I am not the only one. In a clinical study, taking Hyacera for 90 days led to a 3.6-time reduction in crow's feet wrinkles as compared to placebo. And it led to a 2.9 increase in skin smoothness. I also like that they're easy to swallow. The capsules sort of taste like vanilla. They're not all weird and fishy like some other supplements. Plus, Ritual is a certified B Corp, something we learned about on a recent episode. And all their supplements, including the Daily Protein and their Sleep Bio Series Melatonin supplement, are vegan, gluten-free, and made traceable. Do what Jess and I did. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/mascara. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/mascara for 25% off.
time to raise a wand.
It's time.
First, little fact check from earlier in the episode. The Bill song.
Oh, yeah.
It's from Schoolhouse Rock.
Oh, that makes sense.
Tell me you've heard of Schoolhouse Rock.
I've heard of it. I never watched Schoolhouse
Rock.
Me
neither. I think I'm too young for it, but like I know it just because like I've heard other people sing those songs over time.
It's like they have like something as the one is the loneliest number or loneliest something number.
Yeah. Anyway, so raise a wand to Schoolhouse Rock. And okay. What product, Jess?
So this is like a special shout out to our British listeners, because I don't know if you can buy this in the U.S.
We'll allow
it. So Brits, pay attention, U.S., demand this product. Sarah Chapman, who is, you know, the facialist of the moment, she works with Meghan Markle, she works with Victoria Beckham. I spoke to her a couple months ago, and we're talking about products of hers, and then one thing she said is, she said, the skin insurance, it's all about the skin insurance. So I said, what is it? It's like a tinted moisturizer that has SPF 30, but it really like perfects the skin. Mm. So she sent me some, you know, straight from London.
It's called skin insurance,
but that's a cute twist.
Put that on our list of products.
I just put like a lot on.
Oh, I'll take some. I'm taking
some. Yeah, I took a lot.
This looks like my jam.
It's like, it looks like foundation, but it's a really slippery, like really thin. You know what I mean? I put on way too much
and
of my
not
hand just now.
Powdery silicone feeling.
No, there doesn't feel like there. I mean, I don't know what's actually in it, but it doesn't feel like powders. It doesn't feel like have some silicone.
This is fabulous because I'm luminous. Look at me.
It leaves your skin luminous and protected, and it has this kind of peach, not peachy, but like a tan, tawny color.
Oh, is this meant to be a universal color?
It's universal.
We don't know how universal.
We don't know how universal is, but I think it's a little dark on me, but if I smush it out, it's okay.
Yeah, so it probably goes up to like medium skin tones.
Probably. So I think we need to expand. We need to expand that range. But as a formula, it's divine. I wore it this weekend. I didn't want to wear. I don't know about you guys, but in the summer, I don't like foundation. I don't like any makeup.
I want that.
So I just want something that's just going to even me out, look a little glowy, and bam, mascara out the door.
Love it. Nice.
Thanks.
Okay. I'm gonna raise a wand too. Tiff. No, just kidding. I'm ceding my raise a wand to Tiff because she got excited about a product and I want to hear about it.
Tiff on the mic. Okay.
Back by popular demand.
Aw, thanks. Okay. So have you heard of Ollie Nutrition?
The gummies, right?
Yes. They
Very
have
tasty.
Lots of different ones like sleepy vitamins, Undeniable Beauty.
Our
That's
van driver in Charlotte loves the Ollie sleepy gummies. Remember?
Shout out to her.
Yes. Okay. Go on.
So it's called Undeniable Beauty. And get this. A beautifying blend of biotin, vitamin C, E, and keratin. So it's for hair, skin, and nails. And I'm really bad at taking vitamins, so I don't know what it is about this particular one that maybe it's the bottle's pretty, maybe it's gummies.
Oh my gosh, the bottle is adorable.
Maybe it's a combination of both of those things, but I've been really good at taking them.
They're tasty.
Yeah. 30 days, I've finished about 2 to 3 months so far, and honestly, that might have something to do with me wanting to rock my natural hair more, because I notice a difference. So
you really do notice a difference.
Ollie Nutrition.
Yeah, like your hair's fuller, and then,
more shiny.
Her hair has been.
Looks awesome. It, yeah.
Now we know why it's the Ollie.
Gotta get
so
those
raise
Ollies.
Raise a wand to Ollie.
Raise a wand to you. I love it. Thanks, Tiff.
Thanks for listening. Fat Mascara is produced by our friends at Atwell Media. You can check out our website, fatmascara.com, for episode recaps, product recommendations, and discount codes.
And if you want to reach us directly, email us at info@fatmascara.com, or you can follow us on social, @fatmascara, shoot us a DM. And we'd love if you went over to iTunes and threw us a rating. How many stars?
Five.
Five, please.